And today, instead of standing and proclaiming to you, I'm going to try to sit and reason with you this morning. Because God has given us all minds and an opportunity to kind of think about what God is doing in our lives. So in Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 1:18, "Let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they are crimson, they shall be like wool." So is there anyone out in the audience today who is not a sinner? Yeah, I don't see anyone raising their hand, so we're going to make the assumption that we are all sinful human beings. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not as bad as someone else. Well, Jesus doesn't grade on a curve. It's either you're perfect or you're not. And there are none perfect, not one, except Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We cannot save ourselves. Let's reason that together. Though our sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Jesus' blood washes away our sins. We are now recreated to be his children, to serve him, to live for him, and to do what he is asking us to do. And one of the things that God is asking us to do is to be a doer of the word and not just a listener of the word. So if I told you that there is a country in the Middle East that has the fastest growing church in the world, would you believe me? Now, I read this in a news article on Fox News last Friday. It was written by Caleb Park, and he caught my attention with, "Where is the fastest growing church in the world?" I would never have guessed Iran. Would you? This is a strictly Muslim nation. And why this church is growing so fast is because they don't have a building. They don't have a budget. What they have is people who are totally committed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And one of the people who was interviewed, and mainly this church is made up of women, is that she was interviewed and she was asked, you know, what does a Christian look like in Iran? And she said, "When I leave my home in the morning, I do not know if I will come back, because if someone in the leadership finds out, they will beat me, rape me, and kill me." What Caleb Park made a distinction was, is there's a difference between a convert, someone who says, "I believe in Jesus," and a disciple, someone who is a doer of the word. You have to recognize in our country that persecution is coming for Christians. Right now it's soft, it's nothing like in Iran, and it will never ever be anything in Iran because we have the First Amendment. But when I was a child, it was different. Being a Christian was something that was important. People looked up to people who were Christians. And then today, it seems like many Christians are being shunned by their beliefs. That is my opinion. So let's reason together this morning. It's where will you go in being a doer of the word? You know, one thing that really annoys me is people who say, "I promise to do this," and then they don't do it. Does that make you angry? I mean, it makes me angry because you can't trust a person by their word. And does your word mean anything? If you say, "I'll do it," you do it. I remember that I have changed my methodology. When a person asks me to pray for them, I don't say, "I'll pray for you later." I'm going to pray for you right now, because what I know is that I forget. And I'm not a person of my word anymore, because I haven't prayed for you. So right then and there, publicly between the two of you or if other people are around, I will pray for your need. It doesn't make me a super Christian just because I'm a pastor. But what it is I am a doer of the word because I have kept my word. Now, When we became believers in Jesus, especially those of you who have gone through Lutheran education and you were confirmed in 6th through 8th grade, one of the promises that you made, that you would be faithful to Jesus unto death. You remember that? Probably not. But that was one of the promises that we all made out of the Lutheran liturgy for confirmation. That we would be faithful, that we would be doers, that would we be people within the kingdom of Christ. So this morning, I'd like to reason with you about, are we really doers of the word, or are we just hearers of the word? And I'd like to do that with three questions this morning. And I've taken these three questions from Floyd Steverson, a pastor, who wrote a sermon February the 5th, 2017. His three questions are this: why should we be doers of the word? How does being a doer of the word transform us? And what does being a doer of the word look like? So this morning, it's not about being in church. It's about being in Christ. Now, they can be compatible or they can be different. You see, a person who is in Christ has Christ as their focus. It's not about some football game this afternoon, not about where you're going to go eat. It's all about Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not a perfect Christian, I will tell you that. And sometimes I'm a convert and not a disciple. Am I willing to lay down my life for my faith in Jesus? The answer is most likely, most likely. Would I be willing to lay down my life for my wife? The answer is yes. It is yes. For my children. For you, most likely. You begin to understand, right? It's all about our commitment to one another and our commitment to Jesus. So a doer obeys the word of the Lord. So let me give you this example. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus talked about a father who owned a vineyard and two sons. And the first son, he asked, please go out to the vineyard and work in the vineyard. And the boy said, I will, but then he didn't. To the second son, he said, go out and work in my vineyard. And the boy said, I'm not going to work in your vineyard. But later he did. So the question is which son obeyed the father? The one who went into the vineyard. He was a doer of the word. Jesus talked about these doers of the word with this little short parable, is that the doers were the tax collectors and sinners. The people who believed in him were doers of the word, and their sins were forgiven by Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And the tomb is empty, so we are people of great freedom. Even in our reading today in James, it talked about the law of freedom. Well, the Ten Commandments is not a law of freedom. It's a law of do this and do that. But the law of freedom is the gospel, where Jesus has done it all for us so that we might live and proclaim him as Lord and Savior. So when we ask, why should we be doers of the word, the first reason is because God said so. Okay? So do you believe in God? Do we believe in obeying God? If so, what does that look like in your life? Being obedient, as our Father has commanded us to go and make disciples, to tell the good and great news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the second reason why we would go and do the word of God is because we are blessed. In the book of James, it says this person will be blessed in what he does. So you see is that blessings flow from what we do. We bless others because we have been blessed by God. And some of the blessings that we have is family relationships, friend relationships, and a vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, we just talked about in our announcements is that Small groups are part of our relational ministry as you get to know one another, because a lot of us just don't know other people. We may sit in the same place every worship service, but we really don't know people. In my first church, I had one of my elders said, "I know everybody in the church." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, why don't you go talk to this lady right over here and ask and tell me what is going on in her world today? How is her child doing in school?" He says, "I don't know." And I said, "Then you don't know everyone in church, because you don't know everything that's going on. As a pastor, I don't know everything that's going on, but you guys come up to me and think I do. I don't." You have to understand is that to know a person, you have to spend time with a person. You have to be a good listener. So that gets to my second point. How does being a doer of the word transform us? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. So if I'm going to make a friend, I have to be a friend. And to be a friend, I need to use both my ears to say that you are important to me. One of the things I have recognized is that when my wife talks to me and we're watching TV, the first thing I do is pick up the remote and stop it, because I can't listen to the doggone TV and listen to you at the same time. I get distracted. I can't give you my full attention. But being a good listener means you have my attention. You are important to God, and you are important to me. Also, being a doer of the word means is that I think before I say things. You know, there's many times I would wish I could go back maybe 10, 15 years, now that I'm smarter and wiser, and I thought about an issue that was long past. I said, I would have handled this a whole bunch differently. But I didn't know any better that day either. But what I have learned is that when somebody is talking to me, I can't think about what I'm going to say. I have to say, I am fully engaged in listening to you. That allows me time to fully hear what you're saying. And I could repeat what you have told me, and that gives me time to think about what I might say. But I have to say everything in love that points to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And anger, I mean, we all live with anger at times. You may not remember, but when I was a kid, they put you in the corner, made you put your face in the corner, maybe put your nose on the blackboard when you were misbehaving. Now, we don't do that today with kids because that kind of demeans them. But that was my world, the world I grew up in. Sometimes when you get angry, you need to put yourself in the corner. You have to say, time out, go stand in the corner, collect your cool so that you can talk decently to the other people. Now, sometimes you can't physically go stand in the corner, but what you can do is call time out on your speaking and say, you know, I need to listen a little bit more to what you're saying so I can better understand you. Recognizing is that none of us are perfect. None of us do exactly as it's written in the textbook. And none of us can listen 100%. But we got to do our best. We got to appreciate the people that God has put into our world and let them know that they're important to us. And thirdly, what does being a doer of the word look like? First of all, it's control of your tongue. Okay? In our world today, there is no problem about throwing out bad words in conversation. I mean, that makes you maybe, hey, listen to me because I said this word or that word. That doesn't make you a better person. That's coarse language. That has nothing to do to honor God. We are called to love one another, to speak well of one another, to uplift one another. A doer of the word sincerely loves God and loves people. and a doer of the word practices holiness and integrity. So I brought with me today Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful, because these guys always say things that are nice, okay? So I want to introduce you Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful, and I have no idea what Mr. Wonderful is going to say this morning, because he says 14 different things, so we'll see what he has on his mind this morning.
I love you.
There you go. I love you.
Yes, dear. You've been on my mind all day. That's why I bought you these flowers. You know, honey, why don't you just relax and let me make dinner tonight?
One more.
Why don't we go to the mall? Didn't you want some new shoes?
That's Mr. Wonderful. Okay? I'm sure you husbands all talk like that, correct? Mrs. Wonderful.
You're right. We don't need directions. Maybe you'll find a shortcut. Don't worry about taking the trash out. I can use the exercise. It really doesn't matter if you leave the toilet seat up. It makes it easier to clean. You don't need a glass. Just go ahead and drink right out of the carton.
Okay. I brought these guys with today just to show you that from the funny side and the over-the-top side, that we're not going to talk like that. You know, it's like my wife tells me, put down the seat. I do. Okay, the toilet seat needs to be down because she's a lady and I need to treat her as a lady. I take out the garbage because that's my role as husband. It doesn't mean I'm better or more qualified. It just means I'm a servant in our household. A doer of the word says you are important. A doer of the word says Jesus Christ is important to me. So let us think and reason together this morning. So I wrote myself some final thoughts on reasoning together. Let's encourage one another to speak more about Jesus. Let's encourage one another to be more like Jesus to others. Let's encourage one another to be a doer of the word. When we give our word, we keep our word. Be in your Bible. Be in a small group. Be in something that says, Jesus is important to me. Be in a church that says, we want to connect with our community. And when we say we want to connect, we look for people that we can share the love of Jesus. A doer of the word loves Jesus and loves others. A doer of the word gets things done, and their lives are focused on Jesus. Remember in our Old Testament, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And remember in the gospel lesson, I am sending you out. We are sent people. Please reason with me. Though our sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are crimson, they'll be like wool, because Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And there's so many people living in sin in our community today who would love to hear about Jesus. Can you say this with me? Here am I, send me. Let's say this together. Here am I, send me. And all God's children say, amen.